Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your house in order.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do? Hallelujah, we will continue as pilgrims through this old barren land, God.
And I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. I want to be able to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the parts of their iniquity. Grace me your servant, God. Hallelujah. With words of wisdom. Hallelujah, Jesus. Grace me, God, with words of encouragement. Hallelujah. To those that comes with heavy hearts. Some come with empty hearts. Some come with questions, and they need answers, God. And we're asking you, God, to intervene, God. We'll be so gracious, God, to give your name the glory and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the church say amen and amen. We're going to go right now into a program that's already in progression at this time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Let me get my eyes together here this morning. I've been up all night waiting for this opportunity to roll around. And we know that our worship here is a mere prelude to the great praise, hallelujah, and service in the future. When we stand in God's presence, but sometime when we join with others in vibrant worship, we experience an echo of paradise on this earth. And we know that when God wipes our tears and our sorrows, it gives way to eternal song. Hallelujah. And we know that at the March on Washington in the year of 1963, we know that Mahalia Jackson sang to help create the right atmosphere for a memorious occasion. Many people joined in clapping their hands and tapping their feet. The music moved their bodies, their souls, and their minds. That music set the tone for one of Dr. King's most memorable speeches. In fact, we know that music dominated the background for the entire civil rights movement. When nonviolence marchers marched, they sang. When they sat quietly waiting for a better day in this country, they sang. We know that in the law of 2 Chronicles 20, we read the story of another person and another people who sang. The people of Judah, they heard the enemy were coming, hallelujah, to attack them. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, prayed to the Lord God. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. When the Spirit spoke through a prophet exhorting them that this battle was the Lord, this did not mean that the people of Judah would not play a role, for the prophet told them, set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation, hallelujah, of the Lord with you. The next day, Jehoshaphat prepared the singers who would lead the army, continually thanking the Lord for God's mercy. They set the tone. When they started to sing, the story said God went into battle. This battle was the Lord's. We find out when trouble appears, insurmountable, to whom do we look for help? From whom do we seek advice? Some battles are not meant to be fought alone. At times, the conflict is too big and beyond our control. But we should not just sit still on the sideline. We should take our position. Hallelujah. Some will be positioned on the front line, leading the army of the Lord. Others may be called on to sing a song about God's mercy. Hallelujah. That endures forever. Perhaps their song will move God to act on our behalf. And our prayer should be, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endured forever. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Second Chronicles 20 and 21. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name, God. Bless that reading, and may you add a reading and a blessing unto your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And we will take our key scripture, and it's coming out of the law of Psalms 95. 95 and 1 reads this. Oh, come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Our key, second key scripture on this morning. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with song. And we know that Psalm 95, it invites you and I, and it obliges us to join in a celebration of God. It call is twofold, to worship the one who is the rock of our salvation, and to do so in the community of those who love him. When we open our heart toward God in wisdom, we experience life-giving inspiration. The psalmist invite you and I, said, come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us come before his presence, hallelujah, with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. You can sense the joyful enthusiasm, hallelujah, with which this call is given. Rather than being only a spectator, we may actively participate in this glorious worship. First, the worship leaders remind us, hallelujah, of the vastness of our Creator. When we behold his greatness, we become vessels for the praise of God. The human heart stands in awe before the wonderful witness of creation, and our souls sing, how great thou art. Second, the psalmist instructs us about the intimacy of God because he is personal and loving. We may call him our God. God has extended himself toward you and I in such a way that we can celebrate and share identity. We are God's people, and God is our God. In such a climate, the chilly fears on isolation and alienation dissipate in the warm breeze of the Spirit of God in all of his creation. And to his great God, I belong. We limit our ability to worship God, however, when we develop callous hearts and persist recognizing his splendor and majesty. We grieve the tenderness of God when we disregard his mighty acts and fail to respond to his love. When this occurs, our relationship with God changes dramatically, for we risk his anger and the removal of his blessings. Therefore, because our creating and loving God deserves all of yours and mine's and ours worship and praise. So let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. And I tell you, there's nothing so wonderful as getting in your designated spot of praise. May it be in your secret closet, at your altar, and just praying and talking to the Lord and giving him his just due. And that's sending up praises to the heavenly realms. God just enlightened in our praise and our adoration of him and all of his goodness and his mercy that he has shown toward you and I. God has brought us over yet into a brand new year we've never seen before. God has continued to keep us when we could not keep ourselves. God is old. A praise from you and I, from the mouth of our lips, and from our hands we can lift them high and give God praise, for he is worthy of our praise on this morning. So I would encourage you on tonight, flash this morning to give God a praise. Let the Lord know that you love him and that you appreciate all the attributes that he has performed in your life and in your families, in your loved ones that has been sick and God has healed their body and made them well. How when your bill was due, God provided the currency that you could go and get your bills paid on time. God is the reason for the season. So we must not omit giving God praises. Each and every one of us that has life and breath in our body, have the use of our extremities, we have a right to praise God and give him glory. Hallelujah. And we know, hallelujah, Jesus, that the heart of this passage lies in verse 7. Praise our Lord, when we acknowledge how great God is, we will respond to him with the reverence he so richly deserves. We will worship him with more care. We will draw nearer to hear rather than quick to offer empty sacrifices. And we will measure our words more cautiously as well. Be careful how you worship God, for it is better to offer God the sacrifice of a listening ear than false promises. God says high, and he looks low. Therefore, it is better to say less and show more. Be slow to speak and in a hurry to hear. Someone has said empty praises and empty promises are like an empty wagon. They make a lot of noise, but deliver nothing. So when making a sacrifice to God, I would encourage you, hallelujah, to say, none shall appear before me empty. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Exodus 23 and 15. Do not make promises to God you will not keep. Such foolishness give him no pleasure. For it is better not to pledge than to pledge and not pay. True praise is measured not by what we promise, but by what we perform with our lives. Thus, our respect for him will influence both our worship and our words. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to demagnetize your mind and inject your spirit, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God's House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. This program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence and make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're now going to change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now bring unto you Hymns of Zion, to encourage your spirit and to uplift your heart. So I'm asking you to just sit back and let your mind marinate in these hymns of Zion. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
I long to be in the presence of the Lord. on the inside. And it's hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. I got it.
I say thank you. Thank you.